Good morning, my friends, and welcome to yet another weekend update from very high above all the puerile and vacuous forms of Wyoming mainstream media. This is Cowboy State Politics. I, of course, am your illustrious host, David Iverson, firmly and permanently ensconced behind the silver Cowboy State Politics microphone and broadcasting to you from the depths of the middle swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne. Good morning, my friends, and welcome to the program. Happy Saturday. I just love Saturdays in the swamp. All the politicians have gone home, and I can walk outside and come back in without feeling like I need to take a shower. And, as you might have guessed, the wind isn't blowing today. Now, of course, you remember that I attribute Wyoming's wind to the Capitol building itself. If you want to know why those 40-mile-an-hour gusts come up so much, it's the Wyoming caucus in the Capitol building. Well, if it isn't entirely true, I'm sure they contribute to it. And, as it relates to those charlatans, if you haven't listened to Wednesday's report on the Wyoming caucus, you really need to go back and check out that episode. It's entitled, Wyoming Caucus Caught Red-Handed. And it's true. Cowboy State Politics absolutely caught the Wyoming caucus violating Wyoming law. What they were doing is using the Speaker Pro Tem's office. That's Clark Stith. He's the Speaker Pro Tem of the Wyoming House of Representatives. Anyway, they were using that as their base of operations to campaign against the Freedom Caucus. They had their paid political consultants and lobbyists camped out, set up shop inside Clark Stith's office. Now, I talked to a lot of different lobbyists in the Capitol building this week, and none of them have a legislative office to work from. In fact, they all work from one place. It's called the Capitol Club that's in the basement of the Capitol. They pay rent for that space in the Capitol building. And the reason why they were given that space is because it was an entirely unused room in the Capitol extension. So anyway, all of the lobbyists pay dues to be able to use that room. Only the lobbyists for the Wyoming caucus get an office. And the one they were using is occupied by the Wyoming House Speaker Pro Tem, Clark Stith. The reason I say were is Thursday, right after the report from Cowboy State Politics came out, those lobbyists and political consultants and political hacks didn't go anywhere near the doorknob of Clark Stith's office. I wonder why. It couldn't be that it's absolutely the truth that they were violating Wyoming Statute 913-105. Nope, I'm sure that that had absolutely nothing to do with it. So, if you think it's wrong that the Wyoming caucus, an organized group of politicians, and I'll give you a complete list of them in just a second, but if you think it's wrong that they're using your house, the House of Representatives, a building that is paid for by your tax dollars, to campaign for election, to push liberal policies, to send out emails that don't even remotely resemble the truth, to post on Facebook and Twitter and other social media platforms. If you think it's wrong for paid political operatives, for officers of the Wyoming Caucus Political Action Committee to be able to use a public building, a public office, to campaign against your liberty-minded principles, then you need to file a complaint with the Secretary of State and the Legislative Service Office. Here's how you do that. You can't just send an email. You need to write up a letter, sign it, and mail it to both the Legislative Service Office and the Secretary of State. Now, of course, you have to attach some evidence to your letter, and all you need to do is reference the news report that I wrote that's posted on the Independence Network site and that's posted at Cowboy State Politics. All of the references for everything they could possibly need is right there on the website. I did all the homework for you. Anyway, read the article, listen to the podcast, make up your own mind, and if you're as incensed as I am about the whole situation, file a complaint with Matt Obrecht in the Legislative Service Office and with Chuck Gray, the Wyoming Secretary of State. And make sure that you sign and mail it. If you don't, they'll just toss it in the trash. And as it relates to that whole situation, there's been a very interesting new development. More breaking news about the Wyoming caucus. but I'm not exactly ready to let it out of the bag yet. Pay attention to maybe Monday or Tuesday on the program, and I'm definitely going to give you the breaking news of this whole thing. I just have to put a couple more pieces of the puzzle together, but I promise you, you are going to be absolutely amazed about what they've done this time. As it turns out, they're even dumber than I thought in the very beginning. Well, okay, I'll give you a little hint. They don't like the First Amendment very much. Oh, it's going to be so much fun. But that's all I'm going to say for right now. Stay tuned, my friends. Monday or Tuesday, you're going to love it. Oh, and if you're wondering who makes up the Wyoming caucus, I'll give you a list here. So on the top of it is Clark Stiff and Barry Crago. And then there's Albert Sommers, Steve Harshman, Bob Nicholas, Lloyd Larson, Lane Allred, Ryan Berger, Landon Brown, Don Burkhart, Andrew Byron, Forrest Chadwick, JT Larson, Martha Lally, Sandy Newsom, Tony Nemec, David Northrup, Kevin O'Hearn, Ember Oakley, Jerry Obermuller, Jared Olson, the Zwanitzers, Senior and Junior, Tom Walters, Art Washit, Frat Boy, Cyrus Western, and Cody Wiley. And Evidence-Based Wyoming has put out their mid-session rankings. Turns out, all of those people that I just mentioned voted with the Democrats an average of 78% of the time. A couple of scores to note, just to get you into the rhythm of looking at these sorts of things. Frat Boy Cyrus Western is 77.7% Democrat. Barry Crago is 80.82% Democrat. Clark Stiff, 81.38% Democrat. And good old Bob Nicholas, he's 85.52% Democrat. And keep in mind, they are all registered Republicans. Well, enough of that. For today's program, I have a great interview with Dr. Naomi Wolf. She was in Cheyenne last week to talk about election integrity with Senator Tim Salazar and Senator Bo Bightman. She has an election integrity bill that she's put together that she wants states to take up, so she was here to talk about that, and I had a chance to sit down with her. Now, if you are unfamiliar with who Dr. Naomi Wolf is, she's the author of several books. She is a Democrat, and shockingly, she is the second Democrat to be on Cowboy State Politics. She's not one of the crazy ones. She'd describe herself as a classical liberal, as she does in the interview. A couple of the books she's written, one of them is called The End of America, where she explains how a coup is possible in the United States. And one that I started reading is called Give Me Liberty, a handbook for American revolutionaries. She's also the CEO of a tech company called DailyClout.io. We had a great discussion in the territorial Supreme Court chamber in the Wyoming Capitol.
Joining me on the program is Dr. Naomi Wolf. Welcome to Cowboy State Politics.
Thanks so much for having me.
So is this your first time in Wyoming?
I have driven through your beautiful state, but this is the first time I've had a chance to really explore Cheyenne.
Well, unfortunately, Cheyenne being in the corner of Wyoming that it is, not a lot of mountains here. When you get up to the northern part of Wyoming, it's a lot prettier. That's where I live.
Right.
But welcome to Wyoming.
Thank you.
We're glad that you're here.
I'm happy to be here.
So what brings you to Wyoming?
Thank you for asking. Well, I have a bill. And it's a bill that I drafted in partnership with Phil Klein of the American Voters Alliance and my organization, Daily Clout, and it's a model clean elections bill.
Okay.
And I'm very proud of it. A little tiny backstory. I used to be a political consultant for, and this is kind of embarrassing, but for Gore 2000 and for Clinton's reelection campaign.
Wow, you saw the light, didn't you?
Well, people say that, but I prefer to say that I haven't changed. I still think of myself as a classical liberal, but the world has completely changed, so I don't recognize I don't recognize the Democrats anymore. That said, this is a totally nonpartisan bill, and I, try to play a role always being, head of this platform, Daily Clout, as being as nonpartisan as possible. We just care about giving people better access to the legislative process and letting them drive their own
democracy.
Well,
that's what one of your books is about, right?
Correct. Thank you for
What was the title of that?
Well, the first one was called End of America, which I wrote in the Bush era that warned people that there could be a coup in America. And then the follow-up is maybe what you're thinking of, which was called Give Me Liberty.
Yeah, that's the one.
Yeah, well, thank you. I am so grateful. grateful that you know that title. It's one of my favorite books.
You know, it turns out if you're a journalist and you do your homework, you end up doing your job
that,
a lot better.
That is true. I've got it. But who does that anymore? Just a handful of us. But thank you. So this bill is partly came about because I looked into whether the complaints about clean elections were merited or not. And I was horrified at what I found because it's even worse than...
It's way worse it's than any
so
of us thought.
It's so much worse. And one quick note is that I'm now a tech CEO. I have a company, Daily Clout, which has software called Billcam, where anyone can send a state or federal bill through social media. And so I asked my developer, are these machines secure? And he said, not only can they be hacked, which we all know, but two other things that people don't know, I certainly didn't. The algorithm can count three Democratic votes for every one Republican vote.
Of course, they can write it however they want.
However they want, because it's proprietary. But also, I didn't know this, but it absolutely gave me chills. He said that anyone can give the back-end credentials. Anyone who has the back-end credentials, literally username and password, can give them to can give them to anyone in Serbia, in China, in Egypt, in Yemen.
So now hold on. So which company was this, or is this all?
It's all basically machines. It's all machines because it's any digital process.
Okay.
So basically, I concluded that we literally can't know who won American elections on the state or federal level, going back to 2005 when the machines were introduced.
Holy cow.
I don't think that's an overstatement at all. So then in talking to American Voters Alliance and other people in the election integrity space, we drilled down this bill to the 10 main problems.
Okay.
So this bill, and the other thing, I come from a media background, so something I've noticed is that people tend to get really in the weeds with this issue and people's eyes glaze over.
Yeah, that's what happens to me.
Yeah, no, I mean, no, but seriously, it happens to me. And that's a good like litmus test of will this work with the public? So this bill is written in really clear English. Everyone can understand it. And it solves 10 problems. So number one, paper ballots, right? We voted successfully.
Very important.
So important. With paper ballots for most of our history, there is no reason not to bring them back. New Hampshire has paper ballots. France has paper ballots. Australia has paper ballots. And our founders intended us to vote on paper. And paper is, interestingly, a very sophisticated technology in the sense that you can't hack it.
Right.
You know, it's a permanent record.
Kind of hard to change something that's written on paper.
Exactly right.
So let me ask you a question
sure.
about that. Being in Wyoming, we already have paper ballots.
Yes, you do.
However, we have counting machines. And in fact, in state statute, it actually says that you have to use counting machines.
Oh, wow.
Now, there is one county that uses voting machines, and we happen to be in it. It's Laramie County. Mm-hmm. So
Is this the county with the biggest population?
It is. Yeah. Laramie, and who would have thought the state capital has the most people, but
right.
So let's talk about the bill. Now,
right.
Wyoming's a different state.
Right.
There is some voter fraud that happens here.
Uh-huh.
Interestingly enough, one of the elected state representatives in that room, we caught him red-handed.
What's he doing here?
Well, that is a result of our partisan legislature.
Oh dear.
Yeah. We brought a complaint and they, you know, quickly brushed it underneath the rug. So there are instances of voter fraud.
Mm-hmm.
We do have the counting machines.
Mm-hmm.
I think all of ours are ES and S. Mm-hmm. We can talk about those a little bit later.
Can you see the code?
I've not. In fact, I FOIA'd. I was interested in whether they had modems or not.
Mm-hmm.
And so I FOIA'd the RFP, or the Request for Services,
mm-hmm.
between the Secretary of State and ES and S.
Oh,
and what I got back was the
redacted.
Oh yeah, the very part that would tell you whether or not they had a modem was redacted.
Doesn't that tell us everything we need to know?
It tells you everything. So here's my question.
Okay.
Long lead in.
Right.
Wyoming's a little bit different. Give me your elevator pitch on what your bill would do for a state like Wyoming.
I will, but I guess I'll gently push back and say Wyoming is not significantly different from what you've just described.
How?
Because it's theater. It's theater. I mean, in New York State, I filled out a paper ballot and then I was told to put it into a machine that scanned it. Well, knowing what I know about digital technology, there is literally no way I can know that my paper ballot was read correctly. And there are, you know, so many ways to not read it correctly. For instance, you can have an algorithm that assigns urban voters from a certain zip code more value than rural voters, and that's going to skew your outcome. I mean, I could go on all day telling you the ways in which a scanning machine can can mess with the outcome. So there's nothing redemptive about, respectfully, about the situation you have in Wyoming with paper ballots, because those ballots, where are they? Like, if there's an issue and people want to take a look at them.
Precisely my point.
Like, where do they go?
Yep.
See, it's not a rhetorical question.
Oh,
I'm really
so
asking.
Each county, mm-hmm. Literally, they put them in boxes and throw them in a vault. And
can
they have
we
to
see
keep,
them?
I don't know of a county clerk that will let you.
Well, that tells you everything you need to know as
yep.
well, right? I mean, this is like literally, and your state is not alone. Your theater is a little better here than in a lot of states I've been to.
Yeah,
but
we studied
it's still,
Shakespeare.
Right? It's still theater, because if you can't check the votes against the tally, there is no way to know that the votes are being tallied correctly. And anyway, let me talk about my bill. So paper ballots. Citizens have to show ID, you know.
Very important.
So important. In 16 states, I learned non-citizens are being allowed to have ID, government ID. And so even if you just say driver's license, that doesn't ensure that non-citizens aren't voting. We have 16 million illegal immigrants in the last couple of years flooding our southern border. I'm the daughter of immigrants, granddaughter of immigrants. I have nothing against legal immigration. But what that means is you're... And speaking as a former Democratic consultant, you're importing your voters, basically, and sending them. Oh, my God, this just occurred to me. I bet those busloads and plane loads of people that are being shipped all over the country are going to red states.
No, they would never do that. I'm sure that they absolutely are.
Right.
We'll get back to the program in just a second. But first, an absolutely outrageous profit timeout. Cowboy State Politics is brought to you by Morton Buildings. If you're in the market for an outbuilding or a garage or a barn or maybe a roping arena so you can do all that rodeo stuff year-round, or perhaps you need a giant warehouse for your business, the two people you should talk to are Nick and Jesse at Morton Buildings. They are the experts in metal building construction. They're the best at what they do, and they've been doing it longer than anybody else around. So give them a call. Their phone number is 307-674-2532. You'll receive a 50-year warranty on your foundation, which is something that you're not going to get from any of their competitors. One cool thing that they do is they pour concrete pillars and then insert a steel beam inside them, and then pour the foundation on top. That way, there is absolutely no possibility of water getting underneath your foundation and ruining your building. So it doesn't matter what type of building you've been thinking about for your property, give Nick and Jesse a call. Again, their phone number is 307-674-2532, or you can check them out on their website at mortonbuildings.com. The unpredictable Wyoming weather is no doubt playing tricks on you. In some parts of the state today, it's going to be 50 degrees, which no doubt has put you in the mind about camping. But there's one thing that you've probably forgotten to do, and that's fix all of the little problems that happened with your camper over the last summer. If you made one phone call to Young's Camper Repair over in Worland, you could get all of that stuff taken care of. Tim and Tammy Young are experts in fixing all the little tiny problems that crop up with every camper. And get this, if it's way too inconvenient for you to haul your camper all the way up to Worland, Tim and Tammy Young will come to you and fix your camper on site. So give them a call. Their phone number is 307-431-8110. That's 307-431-8110. Or you could just shoot them an email at youngscamperrepair@gmail.com. Over the past 2 weeks down here in the middle swamp, I've met a lot of people that have told me they're thinking about moving to the Cowboy State. If you're thinking about selling your house to one of them, you need a real estate agent that you can trust. That agent is Rebecca Bextel at Compass Real Estate. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. She's lived in Jackson for over 20 years and has her fingers on the pulse of the real estate market all across the state of Wyoming. So if you're thinking about buying or selling, give Rebecca a call. Her phone number is 307-699-3519. The following advertisement has been paid for by Reed Raisner for Senate.
Who's the leader for the Senate? It's Reed Raisner. He's the one for you and me. Cheer his name so happily.
R-A-S-N-E-R.
What's his name?
Reed
And now, back to my conversation with Naomi Wolf.
Voter ID that shows you're a citizen, same day voting. We can't have these long drawn out, you know, processes, voting processes. There is, it ends ballot harvesting. You can't proactively send anyone an absentee ballot unless that person has proactively requested the absentee ballot. And then the absentee ballot has to be witnessed by someone who will sign his or her name, give his or her address. So that ends the practice of people going into old folks' homes and asking people with dementia to, right, you know, fill out a ballot form. This is so interesting, too. I didn't know NGOs were seeded throughout the process, like Zuckbucks and Soros-funded NGOs, and no doubt NGOs on the other side of the aisle as well. That shouldn't happen. You know, no. These people are totally opaque. What are they doing in our voting system? So it gets rid of NGOs. Only our government officials are allowed to run the voting process. And it gives people the ability to challenge the vote if there's any question. And also there's public counting. And I just want to say one thing, you know, going back in history is so important, which is why our history is being erased, which is another podcast, but sort of related. 100 years ago, or I'm going to say like 110 or 115 years ago, the turn of the last century, 124 years ago, people would count the paper ballots on raised daises in the town square, and everyone would watch the counting.
How cool would that be?
Right? And how simple and how easy. And the last thing I'll just say is, it is so easy, again, speaking as a tech CEO, this bill doesn't have this, but it should in the future. It's so easy to assign every voter a code, and so that if there's any question about your ballot, you can say, that's my ballot, this is who I voted for.
If we can number a dollar bill, I'm pretty sure we can number a ballot.
All of these things are so easy to solve. And I guess I just want to say the last thing in lobbying for this is, I was, you know, a consultant in Gore Bush 2000, when there was all this drama around 347 votes, mm-hmm, in one county in Florida. And I think that that dispute was weaponized subsequently to make the case by the powers that be, not even that those candidates, I think, but kind of darker powers that we may not know ultimately, to say, look, paper ballots are not reliable. We have to usher in voting machines. And that happened by about 2005, as I mentioned. So, but I just want to remind everyone, 2000 happened exactly the way it was supposed to. There were these ambiguous ballots. They, you know, there was argument back and forth about them. That kind of argument, by the way, has been criminalized, you know, by the way they're
absolutely
treating
it has now.
President Trump and his advisors and saying things like, is there any way to, you know, address this? That's literally what Gore 2000 advisors were saying, and Bush advisors too. And then they adjudicated it all the way up to the Supreme Court, and we didn't know who was president till I think 6 weeks later.
Yeah, it took a long time. I was
that's
in college.
But that's how it's supposed to work. Every vote is supposed to be counted. Every vote is supposed to be counted. Oh, one of the other things it does, and then I promise I'll stop, is it prevents exit polls and the calling of elections before every vote is cast.
The one thing, one of the primaries, I think it was Iowa, the Iowa caucuses. I can't remember where I was, working somewhere, but I came home, and I think there was like 2% of the vote in, and they had already called the election.
Oh, my gosh.
And that was Fox News. And, terrible, of course, Fox News is not innocent in the 2020 election either. They called Arizona, and we still don't know what happened there. But mm-hmm, my point is that if you've only got 2% of the vote in, there's mm-hmm no way that you could possibly call that election.
Of course not. How did they possibly justify that?
I mean, it's when I saw that, I was like, well, I'm pretty sure Trump's going to win anyway. Mm-hmm. And the only reason I kept the TV on was just to see what the final number would be.
That's shameful to call the vote.
I think it was.
2% in. That's ridiculous. Can I say one other thing? I mean, if we're
certainly
really nerding out here, I've studied history pretty intensively. And it's only in the last 15 or 20 years or so that we've had such close presidential elections, to my knowledge. I mean, historically, when the country went a certain way, it went a certain way. you know, the progressive era, they went a certain way. You know, FDR, they went a certain way. JFK, well, that was close. But I've...
For the most part, you're right.
You know, I just don't recall in history long stretches when the vote was razor thin at a federal presidential election. And it just doesn't seem... I mean, I'm not a statistician, but it seems weird to me.
Well, as a historian, I have a degree in history.
I should defer to you.
Well, I'm not an expert, but I just like to read books. Historically, when the political pendulum swings one way, so we can use, I don't know, we could use Woodrow Wilson or FDR or Barack Obama for that example. When the pendulum swings one way, you're right. Typically, in most elections, it swings way the other way, just like a rubber band. And so it is interesting, and I don't think that I've ever thought about it in the way that you just described, that it is odd that we've had so many really close elections. The only thing that I will say, though, is think about, you know, Bush-Gore.
Mm-hmm.
Granted, that was only one state, right. one county in one
right,
state,
right?
That came down to 300,
ultimately, yeah.
347
mm-hmm.
votes.
Yeah.
I've got a couple of friends. Of course, maybe Wyoming is unique in this instance, but I have a couple of friends in the House right now that won very close elections.
Yeah, I mean, it happens, and maybe this is a time in history where our country is really equally divided. It just, now that I know how bad the tampering is, I'm just really struck by that. You know, like, I can see it happening once or twice in a generation, but every time. And then what I learned as a political consultant is you look at events backwards, and that you look at the outcome, and then you think, whose interest does it serve? Because the story is always concocted, right? So the outcome is, if you've got a very, very, very close presidential election tally, it's easier to say, oh, look, you know, someone found a bunch of votes in Arizona, or someone found a bunch of votes in Pennsylvania. Oh, guess that's the president.
So who's going to be shepherding your bill next year?
Very exciting. So Senator Tim Salazar and his colleague, Senator Beau Biteman.
You picked two good ones.
They picked me. I mean, I put out the call to, you know, basically I've undertaken to bring this bill on our own dime to any state house that will have me. And
cool.
Yeah, no, it is really, it's an amazing journey. And Senator Salazar was the first to reach out to me and invite me here. And then he brought in his colleague, Beau Biteman. So I credit them, and I hope, and so he's going to introduce it in the next legislative session, which I gather is in 11 months. And I'm so grateful and excited, and he's been introducing me to his colleagues and to people in the House as well. And, you know, I've been leaving copies of the bill in many hands, and Senator Salazar is doing the same, emailing it to people. So I have high hopes, and it's been introduced by Representative Heidi Sampson in Maine, and I've just been invited to Alabama. So
cool.
This is a call out to 47 other states to please invite me, and I'll go there and stay in a scary Airbnb and talk to whoever will talk to
me. There are scarier places to be than Cheyenne, Wyoming.
That is true.
I have one more question.
Sure.
And then I'd like to give you some time to talk about your company.
Mm-hmm.
So as a political consultant, and maybe this is a little bit of an unfair question, but if you were working for the Trump campaign in 2020, being the political consultant that you are, what would you have done to prepare, you know, 2 weeks before the election or a month before to perhaps prevent what happened?
Right. That's a sneaky question, but I credit you.
I'm
it's a
good
question. You are a sneaky guy. I credit you. Forgive me. I'm just making sure I'm not being remiss about anything else. So what would I do? So just, I'm no longer a political consultant. I'm CEO of this company, Daily Clout, and I'm a nonfiction writer and a journalist. But what would I do to prevent it? Well, a bill like this should have been passed in 2019, 2020, but that's too easy an answer. Gosh, that's tough, right? Because it was completely stitched up. I mean, there were so many people were voting in a state of disempowerment. Mm-hmm. There are places where you're not allowed to photograph your vote or video your vote or video the voting
process.
Which is
just criminal.
Criminal, exactly. And a violation of the First Amendment, I would also say. And a violation of the fact that legally all government records belong to the people, except those that are classified. So, gosh, I think he kind of did all the right things, except I would have I don't think there would have been anything he could do in advance except to do what he did, which is tell people to turn out in great numbers to override the cheating. But given the flaws that we've identified, there really is no way to override the cheating.
Right. The depth of what was going on was
exactly, almost
insurmountable.
Yeah, and the algorithm can just adjust, you know, theoretically. But I think after the vote, he should have come forward like Bush and Gore did in a statesmanlike way. And he, respectfully, he was a little bit thug-like in how he tried to stop, you know, the process till it could be verified. And I would have advised him to really just act like Bush and Gore and in a more statesmanlike way, say the vote hasn't been properly counted. We're going to go through all legal channels. We're going to turn over every rock. The people's voice needs to be heard. I would tell him to make it about the citizens and not about him or his candidacy and or presidency. And then I would just excruciatingly, you know, refuse to concede until it went up to the Supreme Court. That's what I would have advised.
Well, I think replay that's fair history. Enough. All right, so let's talk about your company real quick.
Sure. And I apologize if I said thug-like. Maybe I should say aggressive.
That's okay. So so you've got a basically a media company?
Yes. Well, it's more than a media company. It does showcase news about civil rights, civil liberties, democracy, freedom of speech, all of those good things. But we also, I'm so proud of it, we have a platform called BillCam, which is linked to Daily Clout, where you can search any state or federal bill and share it through social media, quote, voting on it, so tallying your opinion about it. You can tweet it to your representative. You can tweet it to the bill's sponsor. You can, you know, by sharing it through your networks, it's been a powerful tool. It doesn't take a lot of activity to stop a bad bill or advance a good bill, since it's all happening transparently in the light of day. I mean, the thing that lets these people be bad is the lack of oversight. You know, there's so few eyes on this process, and so many layers of obfuscation. But when it goes through social media and, you know, the sponsors are saying on Meet the Press or whatever, the Sunday shows, this bill covers cancer care, and then 50 people are saying, look on page 6, it doesn't cover cancer care. That's
Inflation
a lie.
Reduction Act.
All of it, right? The other wonderful thing we've just added is, I usually hate AI, but we've added this fantastic functionality. You know, bills are designed to be incomprehensible. And that's how a lot of bad things happen. People can't understand them. So AI, there's an explain button now where you can look on any state or federal bill on BillCam and it'll explain in plain, clear English exactly what's in the bill. And it's actually much clearer than so many bills, human drafting. So that's exciting. And we also have a new platform called Communities, which is a Facebook alternative, no surveillance, no censorship, where you can run for office and you can raise money for any issue or campaign.
Great. So it's dailycloud.com?
.io, like IndianOcean. Okay. .com was taken.
Well, Naomi, thank you very much for taking the time to sit down with me today.
Thank you so much.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Hopefully you have enough time in Wyoming to maybe poke around a little bit. If not, you should come back.
It's so fabulous. I'm coming back every chance I get. I love it here. Thank you so much.
That'll about do it for today's installment of the program. A couple more program notes before I let you go for this weekend. Definitely don't miss the breaking news that I'm going to tell you about either Monday or Tuesday. I swear, my friends, I can't make this stuff up. One thing is for certain, there is never going to be a shortage of material for this program. Those dummies in the Wyoming caucus keep giving me the stories, and I'll keep reporting them. Make sure that you subscribe and follow the program. That way you'll be notified every single time there's a brand new episode of Cowboy State Politics. You can do that from the website, cowboystatepolitics.com, or anywhere that you get your podcasts. Well, have a good weekend, and we'll talk again on Monday. But for now, from the depths of the Middle Swamp in Wyoming's capital of Cheyenne, I'm David Iverson, and this is the one and only Cowboy State Politics.